welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
I don't know how long we've been doing this, but we must have done a million aspirin poems. We've got another one today, but it sort of rethinks what we've been finding, although it's been changing over the past decade or so slowly. Cardiovascular disease and cancer are clearly the leading causes of morbidity and mortality, and it has been thought that aspirin produces important reductions in cardiovascular disease, particularly secondary prevention, particularly related to occlusive events, including subsequent coronary artery disease, especially myocardial infarction, and perhaps stroke as well. In secondary prevention, the absolute benefits of occlusive events are far greater, and the absolute risks of major bleeding perhaps are outweighed by these benefits. But in primary prevention, it's a little bit different. Particularly among apparently healthy people, the benefit-to-harm ratio has been increasingly unclear. Although the benefits of aspirin on cardiovascular disease have been known for a long time, more recent evidence from randomized trials has suggested a benefit that also accrues to those at risk for colorectal cancer. The utilization of aspirin is complicated, and perhaps what we need to do is to relook at the risks and the benefits. You have a poem that comes from the journal Family Practice. It attempts to answer the question, does aspirin still provide a net benefit as primary prevention?
Yeah, this is actually one of my studies. I did it with Frank Moriarty, who's a researcher at the Royal College of Surgeons in Dublin. We did it last year, and it was published a little while ago. So aspirin, I was on the USPSTF in 2014 when we voted on aspirin as a recommended it for people in their 50s, consider it for people in their 60s who are at elevated cardiac risk, who are willing to take it for at least 10 years. And all of that was based on studies that we reviewed, and we reviewed them really carefully, but those studies were from the 80s and 90s. And they were pretty convincing that there was more benefit than risk, reduction in cardiovascular mortality, cardiovascular events, and even colorectal cancer. Now, today, we're doing a much better job of addressing risk factors like tobacco use, hypertension, hyperlipidemia. You know, few patients were on statins back then. More patients smoked. Fewer patients had their blood pressure well controlled. We also routinely screen for colorectal cancer, which we weren't doing back in those days, and especially in some of the countries where these studies were done. So we looked at the four recent studies that gathered patients, recruited patients after 2005 that are more contemporary, about 60,000 patients in those studies. And then we compared them with previous meta-analyses that had only recruited patients before the year 2000. The newer studies, there was no longer any reduction in cancer death or incidence, and in fact, a trend in the other direction. There was no longer a significant reduction in non-fatal MI or cardiovascular mortality. And if you look at some of the individual studies, one of them showed increased cancer mortality, increased all-cause mortality in the aspirin group. So overall, for every 1,200 patients who take aspirin instead of placebo for 5 years, there are going to be four fewer major cardiac events, three fewer ischemic strokes, but three more intracranial hemorrhages, and eight more major bleeding events. So that it's really, you know, a toss-up, and I would say probably actually favors no aspirin. So the balance of benefits and harms, the bottom line, is pretty equally weighted. I don't think we should recommend aspirin for most of our patients for primary prevention. European Society of Cardiology, American College of Cardiology, American Heart Association, all are backing off to varying degrees, either saying, don't do it. In fact, the FDA says, don't use aspirin for primary prevention. The European Society of Cardiology says, don't do it. American Heart Association says, probably don't, maybe for very high-risk patients. So certainly, if someone has had a cardiac event, that's different. But for primary prevention, I just don't think the balance is favorable anymore.
we would normally advocate shared decision-making where the physician or physician's assistant or nurse practitioner sit down with the patient and go through the risks and the benefits. The question for you, Mark, is when do we not do that? If in fact the benefits are less than the risks for a given patient, do we still engage in shared decision-making or we just recommend that they not do it?
I think you start with a judgment of what is their cardiovascular risk. I mean, if their 10-year risk of an event is 20%, which is very high, then that patient, you know, you might see, you know, it might be sensible to have a conversation. On the other hand, if someone's average or low risk, I wouldn't even have the conversation, frankly. Now, there is the issue of what do you do about people who've been taking aspirin already? You know, in these studies, people were started on it. And so if someone's been successfully taking it for 10 years or so, they're in their 50s or early 60s, you might continue for a while. But, you know, I think the benefit, potential benefit is diminished as people get older. And I would probably, and the harms start to go up, the bleeding risks go up. So I would probably stop those patients if they were in their mid to late 60s. And again, we don't have great data on this. That's kind of judgmenty, but I wouldn't fault someone for, you know, looking at it a little differently. But anyway, that's kind of where I stand on it.
No, I think that's good advice. It sounds rational to me. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again in a week.
Okay.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.